The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, listen, I hope this isn't too traumatic for people, but we want to rewind the clocks back 5 years to this.
Good evening. Lá Éile Pádraig Thona Díobh. This is a St. Patrick's Day like no other. A day that none of us will ever forget. Today's children will tell their own children and grandchildren about the national holiday in 2020 that had no parties, no parades, but instead saw everyone staying at home to protect each other. In years to come, let them say of us, when things are at their worst, we were at our best. Our country is making big demands of our healthcare staff and big demands of every single one of us. Tonight, I want you to know why these actions are being taken and what more needs to be done. We're in the middle of a global and national emergency, a pandemic, the likes of which none of us has seen before. So far, the number of cases in Ireland has been relatively small. However, we believe the number will rise to 15,000 cases or more by the end of the month and rise further in the weeks thereafter. Our community services and hospitals are being tooled up. Essential equipment is on the way. Retired staff are returning to service. People are training for change roles. This is the calm before the storm, before the surge. And when it comes, and it will come, never will so many ask so much of so few.
That was Leo Varadkar 5 years ago this week announcing what was effectively lockdown one with me in studio to discuss. Everybody here listening to this was shaking their heads. Jen Hogan, Irish Times columnist, Ruth Scott, broadcaster and humanist celebrant, and Conor McAllister, co-owner of Grafton Barbers. You're all very welcome.
Thanks for bringing us right back.
Yeah, what were your memories then, Ruth, of lockdown one?
So it's funny, listening back to that, I couldn't watch the news at all because I was so traumatised. I was like, it was a real sort of childlike thing of like, cover my ears, cover my eyes. I cannot watch the news. I was just too scared. And if I had watched the news, I'd have been bawling, crying every night. But lucky, you know, I didn't have any deaths in sort of my family. So we got to enjoy. And thankfully, I get on really well with my husband. I loved having him at home the whole time. He wasn't quite so happy just for one particular reason. He obviously loves hanging out with me, but he had his 40th birthday and we had a bit of a party planned. He had no 40th birthday party, so we organised that friends would do a drive-by and we scheduled them on a Saturday. And so we'd be like, every 45 minutes, OK, get out of here, such and such. Paddy's on the way next with the kids. Our friend Paddy rocked up, he brought his kids. They came out of the car with guitars. They played Happy Birthday. There was people standing in my square looking out the windows going, what the hell is going on? We had cut up a birthday cake and left it like on plates just over there so people could grab theirs. It was kind of weird, but you made ways to sort of have the best fun that you could. But don't start me on the bad haircuts now.
Well, yeah. There was a couple of them, all right.
Yeah. There was a few bad haircuts, all right. But Jen, my memories of lockdown one, and I was lucky, like Ruth, we didn't kind of deal with any health emergencies and everybody avoided COVID. And actually, lockdown one was grand. For me, I appreciate there'd be people listening to this who hated it. But, you know, the weather was really good. Yeah, I think we barbecued every night of the week.
Yeah.
You know, it was a really warm spring and early summer. And I mean, right, the novelty wore off fairly quickly. Mm. And, you know
how many kids
working
Jen
from
has.
Home was manageable. But yeah, I wager, was it slightly more chaotic in your house?
Ever so slightly more chaotic.
Just a little more.
I mean, even just listen to that, the residual trauma rising to the surface. It is just, it was totally and utterly in every respect chaotic. I mean, the weather was brilliant. That was a bonus. But when but all those kids being off, trying to homeschool, my husband wasn't home. And I was so jealous. He went to work every day still. He was considered essential staff. He had to go to work. I remember trying to broadcast from the front of my Ford Transit. Like, I'd be sitting out there on the telly live from the front of the Ford Transit trying to be your kind of makeshift home studio, trying to write, trying to focus with all these kids, having to hop on and off different online classes because if you had children in primary school with the child safety thing, you had to be there. I appeared in the background of more online classes in my secondary school kids' classes. I'm not surprised I wasn't included on the roll because I was there all the time. And it was just that kind of constant chaos. But there was the fear as well. Just when you said that, Ruth, about like being afraid of the news or not wanting to watch the news. I actually remember at one stage feeling so overwhelmed. I sat outside in my car again. My car was my home from home. And I just cried. And, yeah. I didn't lose anybody. I was very fortunate there. Nobody suffered extremely bad health, even when anyone got COVID. Thankfully, they weren't particularly ill with it. We didn't have anything like that, but just the sheer overwhelm of the enormity of it. And then the chaos. There was no kind of break from the chaos. You were trying to manage things with the kids at home, make sure
you're going to hate it. I never slept so much or as well as I did during COVID and the lockdowns because there's two of us in the house, whereas you're dealing with a whole scatter of littlies and full-time job.
And teenagers wondering what's going on as well. So you had every age, like just even trying to manage it for them so they didn't panic, so they weren't scared that something would happen to their granny. Plus, the general public, besides not being overly keen on kids, wasn't over. There was this idea that we weren't supposed to be out in crowds.
Sorry,
I am a crowd.
The inner Nazi. Is that what you're going to talk about? All the inner Nazis came out.
All the inner Nazis came out.
They did. The COVID Nazis.
They absolutely did. I mean, I had people policing me when I was out, like telling me I shouldn't be out with all my kids. Like mad stuff altogether.
Oh, I remember listening to a debate at this radio station. People come ringing in to say that exercise should be banned because people were sweating in public. You know what I mean? And panting in public. But people lost the run of themselves. But Connor, one of the things that was interesting as well, say on lockdown one, was when Leo announced that lockdown, so it was 2 weeks, and I remember the really kind of wise old heads were saying, don't worry, what they'll do is they'll extend it to 3 weeks and then we'll hit Easter and then that'll get the schools through another 2 or 3 weeks and then it'll be all over and we'll be back to work. So when you were shutting up shop, what were you thinking about how soon you'd be back open again?
Do you know what? Honest to God, we had no idea because in the beginning, as you said, lockdown one for us really, really was the hardest. Personally, was the hardest because I felt that it was like something that we were never used to. I'd never had time off like that with the kids and what you were saying there, Jen. And then all of a sudden,
of time.
I'm having loads of time. But it was really like I'm so used to dealing with the public every day and always upbeat and stuff like that. Now I'm getting to spend time with my kids and my wife, and everything was fantastic. And then at night time, and I don't know what pastimes you all took up, but I took up playing poker online with my friends. So we used to get on a Zoom meeting, and as the weeks progressed, and sorry, Ken, I'll go back to your question now, but as the weeks progressed of not being in work, I noticed all the lads' hair's getting longer, and I was like, you need a haircut there. What am I about to do? You think you'd show us? And I said, well, don't you worry, that's coming. So a couple of the times I'd say to them, look, get your razor off. You know, if everyone has a razor lying around the house, and they'd attempt to have a little go at it themselves, and then they'd go, look, what am I after doing? What do I do? And you'd try and talk them through. But the first time that we did lock down, it was because you remember, I remember we had to start putting perspex, and there was a whole thing at the beginning that we had to, like, everyone was masked, obviously, but then we had to get perspex put up, and there was lines where seating areas, sorry, that was on the return, that we had to have people distance from each other and stuff like that. But it was just something that I never taught. And everyone over the years would say, oh, hairdressing is guaranteed trade, that you'll never close a hairdresser or a barbershop down. Well, proof was in the pudding, COVID done that.
Did it change the business at all? You know, I remember like that, friends of mine buying razors online, and they were saying, they were doing the calculations, I'm going to save all this money for the rest of my life because I'm never getting a haircut again. I'll shave my own head every week. And they were fairly quick going back to the barbers as soon as they could.
It kind of benefited us, I suppose. But the one thing it did do, and I was saying to one of the lads there, it really brought out trends in people because they were starting to try growing moustaches, beards. It wasn't just Movember anymore.
It's terrible.
The husband will try and he'll shave the locks off thinking he's done a great job. Now all of a sudden he's got a mullet. And he goes, God, maybe I should draw a moustache with that. And all of a sudden he's got a look going on.
God.
And then we'll get a pair of flare trousers and now we look really killed, you know. So it did really, I think people coming back out of COVID, it benefited us from business. But going what you're saying there, Karen, through COVID, the only thing that kept us alive was our online shop. As in, with people were buying more product, they were buying more utensils,
razor shaver.
Absolutely. And then using more waxes that they wouldn't have normally used. They were saying, well, I'm going to have to get something to control the curls or get it into a bit of place. So the sales went up online for us. So it was, in a way, we done okay. We were able to keep our doors open when we returned, thank God. But that was difficult.
There were some kind of pluses in the sense that if you were lucky enough that you just went to the shop, you were able to get out and go, obviously not having to bring seven children like Jen. I used to go and queue. You'd be waiting for half an hour to get into the shop. Yeah. It was almost like meditative at the end.
Yeah.
And you'd go through. And the best thing about that since is now we go to the shop once a week. We got out of that habit of going in it's every like evening, family, nipping yep. in to get yep. this, that and that. Mm. It's just one of us go. We can't be wasting our time going more than one time to the shop.
Yeah.
But I do remember that, like I'm thinking of the people who were going into labour during COVID and during the lockdowns. Yeah. And I know that their partners and husbands yeah. were outside waiting for the text to say they are X number of centimetres dilated before they're now allowed into the delivery suite. And my nephew and his wife had their first baby and they came to visit and they just parked, obviously, about 5 metres away from us. And they had the child in the back seat with the window closed. And they said, you're allowed to go up to the window and squash your nose against it, but that's it. So you would happily do, like, imagine if someone said that to you now. Just squash your nose up against the window there and say hello to that child. You'd be like, that's crazy.
I know. Well, they maintain those restrictions in maternity hospitals way longer than they needed to. That was kind of a crazy situation. It just suited, I think, the people working there. Anyway, we might get into that later in the show. But you kind of forget as well some of the stuff. When we were talking about this amongst the production team earlier, Jen, as well, somebody pointed out that one of our guys in here used to wash all her grocery shopping because other people might have touched it. And now it wasn't just her. Lots of people would do this. They'd bring home the shopping and wipe everything down with disinfected. Because other people in the shop might have touched it before.
Or coughed on it.
Yeah,
but it's kind of mental, isn't it, in hindsight when you look back?
The absolute obsession with that. Like, we became totally focused on this, like, excessive cleanliness and this excessive hygiene. And the idea of doing that, but you're right. Like, people did things like that. If you took off your clothes, and you could understand perhaps people working in healthcare settings, right? But everybody else coming home, you strip. Change. I encountered somebody. Yeah. You know, there was mad things going on. And all of a sudden, we actually forgot about the environment very conveniently with all the disposable stuff that we had going. Yeah. It was very conveniently forgotten.
And some places, not all, some places use it as a great excuse to put an enormous surcharge on for PPE. I understand there's an extra expense.
Yeah.
But there was one place that were trying to charge 7 or 8 euros per visit for their PPE. Also, shout out to the physiotherapists who had to do all their work in freezing cold rooms with the windows open. And for the poor people that they were doing their work on, usually they're in their knickers and bra with the window open, freezing cold. I may be speaking from personal experience.
Or getting your temperature taken. Do you remember you'd go to the dentist? You'd go, no matter where you went, you were having your temperature taken. Going, are you a medical professional? Can you even read that correctly?
Yeah, I just all these memories come flooding back of all these things. It was strange for me looking back at the lockdown. I'm a bus driver, says one listener. This is Dave in Offaly. And I worked right throughout, driving in and out of Dublin. We had no passengers, but my routine was maintained.
It's mad, like, it really is. I mean, it's only when you say things like that and look back at it. I kind of forget so much of it now.
And yeah.
I don't know whether that's just the way it is. I don't know, because I do remember when we, as you said, first lockdown. I do remember coming into the second one, and I remember returning to work, but everything in between, because I did keep myself busy, like, you know, doing things that I wanted to do that I never get a chance to do, spending time with the kids and stuff, and then playing a lot of poker online, and then doing tutorials online for lads who have made a mess of their hair. So we kind of had I was always kept busy, you know, and I always kept myself busy. It was just, I just don't know what it is that makes me not remember the whole scenario, and I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's funny. The little phrases, and Leo used one there, Leo Vradker, in that it was the surge.
The surge.
Maybe we kept talking about surges. And the other one that disappeared over time, we didn't keep talking about it, was really at the start, was flatten the curve. Remember that? Remember we kept talking about flatten the curve? We became obsessed with flattening the curve.
Yeah.
And what people didn't realise, and what kind of got ignored a lot because we needed people to buy in and it was too depressing to think about the reality, was that flattening the curve didn't mean there'd be fewer cases. It just meant we were going to spread them out over time.
Yeah.
The whole thing was going to take longer.
Do you remember actually, I don't know if it's excitement is the right word, but when you'd have to try and make an appointment to get your vaccination or to go and get a COVID test, you had to log on like at a minute past midnight to see could you get a test at one of the test centres the next day. And then you'd be queuing up and that might be like the biggest bit of social interaction somebody would have.
Yeah.
Down the line.
But did it change long term anything for your business, Connor?
I suppose the hybrid model of work for offices and stuff did, because we were like people who were in the area of, say, Dublin City. What we've noticed is in suburbia, after the return from COVID, got busier. But city centres and anyone in Dublin City
interesting.
Got quieter. Yeah, so, I mean, no, in a sense, Kieran, it didn't affect our business, but in certain areas it did, yes. So city centre, because of the hybrid model of the office and stuff like that, we weren't getting them in as regular.
Yeah. But then, thankfully, the high fade came into fashion. And those young lads get their haircut every week. And yeah. It's in Kilkenny. Grafton Barber on High Street in Kilkenny has a queue out the door every Friday. Jen, I remember, again, a conversation, and it was on this station listening to, and I can't remember what show, but it was an architect saying, you know, this was going to change the world forever, so much so that houses in the future would be designed with sanitation centres at the front door. Like, it's kind of Ruth is making a face.
It's a bit Silkwood, Meryl Streep getting scrubbed down after. Yeah.
But isn't it? It just shows, though, like, what amazes me sometimes is how we actually just all went back to normal. How quickly.
We did. Do you remember that people would talk about how we'll never abandon the face mask?
Yeah, people
then you'll never shake hands. We'll never shake hands again. We won't talk. You know, there'll be none of this with shaking hands with strangers around like that. But I remember constantly being told we'd be like Asia, where people wore face masks all the time. That was going to happen in the winter. That obviously went out. And when we started to phase that out at the beginning, there was still some fairly judgy looks for those who decided.
Oh, that was me giving judgy looks for sure. So ingrained in the idea of we need a mask because we're going to get sick.
It was the comfort
I got rid of it day one. As soon as there was any flexibility, I burned the mask.
How long did you keep the hand sanitizer in the house?
I never had any hand sanitizer.
Really?
Exactly.
I still have those germs.
I have one or two lying around, I'm sure.
You're one of those people who bought it on mask, thought you were going to make a fortune.
I did not, excuse you, but I use it on mask. Definitely use it on mask. You've just reminded me, and my sisters would be delighted to remember this. We used to meet and we'd park the three cars alongside and we'd roll down the windows and we'd be able to have a conversation across all the cars.
Yeah, it's those little memories that can come back. Like, even broadcasting from home, I remember I kind of had to cobble together this bench and bits of wood I could find in the garden. And my parents saw a picture I put up online of it and said, we'll drop over a bit of a table. Mm. But I remember they stopped at the end of the driveway and left it down. Yeah. And they backed away before I would come up and take it. When I think back.
Sure, we'll never forget Claire Byrne's telly show in the shed.
No, we'll never forget Luke O'Neill in the big Zorb on the Claire Byrne TV show. Do you remember the two of them in the big? And this was a suggestion. This is how we were going to interact in the future. Oh, yeah, Ruth, you weren't watching that night. It was one of the nights you were suffering from the trauma.
We did keep some things, obviously, with Zoom. I remember Joe Wicks. That was it. Him and Joe my Wicks, pies right, were not the better for the Joe Wicks workout.
Alarmingly personal. Explaining Joe Wicks is for people who are
Joe
wondering
Wicks
what he does.
Joe Wicks is the body coach. He bounces around a lot. And he encourages you to bounce around a lot with him and keep him fit. And he does these weird Spider-Man poses and
lots of things. Service providers like that. I think probably there has been long-term change. Yeah. Like therapists and counsellors now will offer a lot of services online that maybe they wouldn't have in the past. And people who don't like going out for whatever reason maybe can access them.
Accessible.
So there probably has been some positive change.
Yeah, dare we admit it.
One thing that hasn't changed for me is I still sneeze into my elbow.
Yeah.
That one has stuck. Do you sneeze into your elbow?
Of course I do. I'm not a monster.
Oh, I like a big loud sneeze. Spread it across the room.
If you were on the bus with me and doing that sneeze, I would be giving you daggers.
I'd be like, there's your one, Scott, the Nazi, the local Nazi.
I'd be leaning over you to open the windows, excuse me, and then take out the hand sanitizer.
Anyway, listen, we're going to talk a little bit later about COVID to people who are kind of directly impacted as well after 6 o'clock. But lots of people, like Colin says, I love the pandemic. I got to stay at home with the family. I went for long walks. I kept getting paid. It was great. I wish it had come back. God, be careful what you wish for, Colin. Colin McAllister is the co-owner of Grafton Barbers, Ruth Scott, broadcaster and celebrant, Jen Hogan, Irish Times columnist. Folks, thanks a million.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you again soon.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.